1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. President Biden in Israel, the trip coming at a tenuous time after a blast at a hospital in Gaza that Hamas blames on Israel and Israel blames on Islamic Jihad. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
The head of the Palestinian Authority, President Mahmoud Abbas, canceling his meeting with the president, Jordan's King Abdullah, doing the same. And Iran's foreign minister tweeting, the time has come for the global unity of humanity against this fake regime, more hated than ISIS and its killing machine. Time is over.
Protests erupting Tuesday, including in Jordan. ABC's Lionel Moise.
Allahu Akbar!
Some trying to storm the Israeli embassy in Amman. Security forces using tear gas to disperse the crowd. Protesters in Iran also marched outside of the French and British embassies, setting fire to Israel's flag.
This is ABC News. There may be a new suspect in a house fire in New Orleans that killed three children. ABC's Jim Ryan says a caller to 911 is accusing the father of the kids of planning to set the fire.
A full-color, crystal-clear, and absolutely chilling home security video captures the moment that flames and smoke erupt from a house across the street in a New Orleans neighborhood. Within seconds, a person in dark clothing hustles down the front steps, gets into a car, and drives off, leaving three children, 3, 5, and 8 years old, to die in the burning home.
We may soon learn more about the death in Aruba of American teenager Natalie Holloway. The chief suspect in her disappearance, Joran Vandersloot, reportedly revealing what he knows as part of a plea deal. And some travelers may be getting on board their planes a little more quickly. United has come up with a new way to board in economy. Window seats, then the middle, then aisle seats. Justin Finch, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A federal jury has convicted two employees of the Wisconsin corn plant that suffered a fatal explosion in 2017. Derek Clark, vice president of operations at Didion Milling, and Sean Mesner, a former food safety superintendent, were convicted of falsifying records and obstructing an investigation into the corn dust explosion that killed five people. A number of other Didion employees have also been convicted for their roles in the explosion. The universities of Wisconsin have announced two branch campuses will end in-person instruction and another will close entirely. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Washington County and University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh Fond du Lac campus plan to end in-person instruction by June 2024. The University of Wisconsin-Platteville-Richland will close entirely. Declining enrollment at the universities was cited as the driving factor for the changes. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Nothing. It's music from Edwin Starr bringing us back into the Steve Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. We've got 50 degrees in Eau Claire and 47 degrees in Richland Center. And unfortunately, the next thing we do have to discuss is war and what's going on in Israel. If you've seen any news today, you may have seen video of the president, Joe Biden, in Israel, meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, leaders, local leaders, and first responders. and family members who have family members in Gaza as hostages. All right, I have a piece here from the New York Times just updated 6 minutes ago. It says here that Joe Biden supports Israel as Mideast seethes over Gaza hospital explosion. President Biden said that information from the U.S. military led him to conclude that Israel was not responsible for the deadly blast at a Gaza hospital. Palestinians blame Israel for the blast, which has fueled protests across the Middle East. And the story starts out by saying that President Biden made an audacious visit to Israel on Wednesday, putting himself at the center of an ever bloodier conflict as Israelis and Palestinians traded blame for a deadly explosion that ripped through a hospital in Gaza. The Gazan Health Ministry, which is overseen by Hamas, said the blast killed hundreds of people, and scenes of bloodied and charred bodies ignited angry protests across the Middle East. After an all-night flight from Washington, President Biden arrived in a country girding for a protracted war against the armed Islamist group Hamas after it carried out the deadliest attack on Israel in generations. He quickly waded into the fray, backing the Israeli government's denial of responsibility for the explosion Tuesday night at Ali Arab Hospital, where many civilians were sheltering amid Israel's daily bombardment of Gaza. The president said, "Based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you." That's what he said during an appearance with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. And President Biden said later that he had based his comments on an American military evaluation and, quote, "data I was shown by my Defense Department," end quote. Palestinian officials blamed an Israeli airstrike, an assertion that was forcefully disputed by the Israel Defense Forces, which blamed an errant rocket fired by an armed Palestinian faction. Neither side's account could be independently verified, and the cause of the blast remained unclear. The carnage at the hospital, though, was plain for the world to see, as witnesses posted video of its aftermath to social media. The videos showed screaming children in bloodied clothing, women wailing in pain, and men kneeling in prayer. In one video, a young child covered in dust lifts his shirt to reveal a wound to his chest. In other videos, bodies lay exposed and people moved past them in search of loved ones. So here are a few other points to know. President Biden's trip began unraveling even before he left Washington, a planned second stop in Amman, Jordan, for a four-way summit meeting with Arab leaders was abruptly canceled by King Abdullah, leaving Israel as President Biden's sole stop. There, he was spending a whirlwind 5 or 6 hours on the ground and planned to ask what an aide called tough questions as a friend to understand Israel's military plans and to press for humanitarian relief for Gaza. Also, the hospital in Gaza City, the explosion there sparked protests in cities across the Middle East that stretched into Wednesday morning, bringing defiant crowds to embassies and consulates of countries that demonstrators said were complicit in the humanitarian crisis facing Palestinians in Gaza. Also, the State Department authorized the voluntary temporary departure from Lebanon of Americans working in the United States Embassy and their families. Earlier, the department had advised Americans not to travel to Lebanon.
Hundreds of thousands of people have heeded Israel's call to flee to southern Gaza, but the Israeli military carried out strikes in southern cities, including Rafah and Khan Yunis. Palestinians in southern Gaza were increasingly desperate for aid and unsure where to go. So it's like the song, right? War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Nothing gets solved, and it only leads to bloodshed and despair. And hopefully the president's visit there will help to move things into a better place than it is now, because right now it doesn't look good. But I think that's pretty courageous of President Biden to go over there at this time and try to do what he can to set things on the right track. We've got 16 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Why don't we take our break now? We'll be back shortly. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Masses, evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction, in the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 59 this afternoon under cloudy skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows dip down to about 46. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 57. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 50.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. And then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. He's thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. For threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins.
That's music from Bob Dylan on this Wednesday morning, 24 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 51 degrees in Amory right now and 49 degrees in Hayward. And, you know, for the past couple of years, it seems like Republicans have been doing everything they can to sow chaos. Just make things as chaotic as possible. And if you follow that train of thought backwards, it seems like it always goes back to the two guys that are kind of advising the Republicans from behind the curtain, behind the scenes. You know who I'm talking about? Well, if you said Sean Hannity and Steve Bannon, yeah, you're right. And there's some new investigating into that fact. This is from the Washington Post, and it's categorized as Democracy in America. The headline says how Hannity, Bannon, and others on the right helped fuel Republican speaker chaos. Conservative media stars have had enormous influence over Republicans' futile search for a leader. And this piece was posted late yesterday. It says Fox News host Sean Hannity vented to his millions of viewers on Monday night about the state of the Republican effort to name a new House Speaker, taking special aim at the, quote, few sensitive little snowflakes in Congress, end quote, who were not supporting his preferred Republican candidate, Jim Jordan of Ohio. But the widely watched conservative pundit wasn't only using his televised bully pulpit to pressure the holdouts. Hannity also spent the weekend personally calling several and having one of his producers reach out to others to lobby them on their vote. He, Hannity, also took to social media to encourage his followers to call wavering members and demand that they fall into line. Hannity's effort to personally whip up votes for Jim Jordan highlights the central role that right-wing media has played in the weeks-long drama engulfing Capitol Hill over who will wield the speaker's gavel. And at each turn, conservative media figures such as Sean Hannity and former Trump advisor Steve Bannon have injected high-profile disruption into a process that normally plays out quietly behind the scenes in Capitol Hill corridors. A handful of backbench lawmakers have seized the opportunity to flex their power in a nearly evenly split chamber, creating drama, but offering little direction. 927, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station. I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm all right. Don't nobody but about me. You got to give me a fight. Why don't you just let me be? Do what you like. Do a little naturally. But if it's too easy, you're gonna disagree. It's your life. Isn't it a mystery? If it's nobody's business, it's everybody's game. You gotta catch the day. No, now, get it for you right away. Get it away, get it for you.
With you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. President Biden in Israel, the trip coming at a tenuous time after a blast at a hospital in Gaza that Hamas blames on Israel and Israel blames on Islamic Jihad. ABC's Martha Raddatz.
The head of the Palestinian Authority, President Mahmoud Abbas, canceling his meeting with the president, Jordan's King Abdullah, doing the same. And Iran's foreign minister tweeting, the time has come for the global unity of humanity against this fake regime, more hated than ISIS and its killing machine. Time is over.
Protests erupting Tuesday, including in Jordan. ABC's Lionel Moise.
Allahu Akbar! some trying to storm the Israeli embassy in Amman. Security forces using tear gas to disperse the crowd. Protesters in Iran also marched outside of the French and British embassies, setting fire to Israel's flag.
This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Democrats are reintroducing the Mental Health Care as Healthcare legislation package in an effort to improve mental health care access for universities of Wisconsin students. The package failed to pass the Assembly in 2021, but would have provided about $10 million in funding to improve staffing, training, operations, and bolster student health services at the universities. The bills would also promote mental health access in K-12 schools. The Barron County Sheriff's Office is alerting Wisconsinites of a scam. According to a Facebook post, residents have been calling the Sheriff's Department saying they're receiving phone calls claiming they need to provide a DNA test and must pay $1,000 with a gift card or a warrant will be issued. The Barron County Sheriff's Department is also warning residents that these scammers are aggressive, convincing, and may know specific information about their targets. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, as it's Chuck Berry, born on this date, October 18th, back in 1926. The guy who wrote the book on rock and roll. Thank you, Chuck Berry, and happy birthday. 9:34 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 52 degrees in La Crosse right now, and it's 50 degrees in Richland Center. By the way, if you have a comment on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I would like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. And just before the break, we were discussing the guys who are really running the show for the Republicans. The guy behind the curtain, right? It's like the Wizard of Oz. Sean Hannity and Steve Bannon. And they've been doing it for quite a while. You probably heard that Sean Hannity was on the phone with the previous president quite a bit during his term, advising him on how to handle things. Steve Bannon as well. And it appears like they are still kind of in charge of the Republican Party, pulling the strings behind the curtain. And this latest issue is with the Speaker of the House. And according to the Washington Post, it's because of those guys, Hannity, Bannon, and others, that we have this chaos in the House of Representatives at the United States Capitol at a time when it's more important than ever to have some leadership at the House of Representatives. It's just the opposite. It's chaos. They don't have any idea who's going to be speaker next. And those guys, Hannity and Bannon, are behind this Jim Jordan guy from Ohio, who is one of the main culprits in the insurrection that went on January 6th, 2021. He was one of the guys that was on the phone with Trump that day telling him what to do. This piece from the Washington Post says how Hannity, Bannon, and others on the right helped fuel GOP speaker chaos. And just before the break, we were to the part here in the story where it says that, I'll give you the last paragraph I read just before the break. It said, at each turn, conservative media figures such as Hannity and former Trump advisor Steve Bannon have injected high-profile disruption into a process that normally plays out quietly behind the scenes in Capitol Hill corridors. A handful of backbench lawmakers have seized the opportunity to flex their power in a nearly evenly split chamber, creating drama, but offering little direction. So as of Tuesday afternoon, yesterday, when Jim Jordan lost an initial vote of the full House, it was unclear whether the turbulent series of events would end with a congressman long relegated to the hard right fringe elevated to lead the chamber. But the overall picture of the legislative branch in chaos and the allure of the media spotlight helping to drive the dysfunction was well established. Quote, politics today rewards attention and money more than it rewards actually getting bills passed into law. That is a Republican talking, Mac Thornberry, a 13-term congressman from Texas who was the top Republican on the House Armed Services Committee before he announced his retirement in 2019. Thornberry likened the shift to a social media algorithm that serves up ever more outrageous content to get more eyeballs. Quote, now, to keep your attention, politicians have to be all the more sensational. I fear we are in a spiral. End quote. And if you've ever seen, if you've ever watched Fox News or other so-called news on the conservative side, that seems to be what it's all about. It's about outrage. How outraged can you be when you're talking about government, Democrats, the president? The uncertainty over who would preside over the House began this month when Kevin McCarthy was ousted by a band of rebellious, hard-right members. The leader, Representative Matt Gaetz from Florida, had become a right-wing media star based on his willingness to topple the established order. Then, House Republicans' original preferred replacement, Steve Scalise, Republican from Alabama, had to withdraw from contention after failing to consolidate the support of hard-right members and the media figures who backed them. Now, Hannity and others are leaning on Jordan's critics to get behind the Ohio congressman who has long been a favorite of Fox News and other conservative outlets. The campaign by Hannity to boost Jordan, who has also been endorsed for the speaker's job by former President Donald Trump, began soon after Scalise withdrew from the race. On Friday afternoon, Hannity tweeted that, quote, any member of Congress would be crazy to not support, not in capital letters, to not support Jim Jordan for speaker. He is a natural-born principled leader who will lead House Republicans to unite versus the radical left, end quote. Hannity went on to provide the switchboard number for the House of Representatives and urged his followers to call your member and tell them. And I have seen interviews with Republicans in Congress who said they're tired of the pressure campaign being brought on them by these so-called Republicans. Over the weekend, Hannity reached out to several holdout lawmakers who were not supporting Jim Jordan, while one of his producers contacted lawmakers with an email asking why they weren't backing Jim Jordan. The producer's email, which was first reported by Axios and has been confirmed by the Washington Post, included a leading question. Quote, Hannity would like to know why, during a war breaking out between Israel and Hamas, with a war in Ukraine, with the wide open borders, with a budget that's unfinished, why would Representative XXX be against Jim Jordan for speaker? Okay, so why would you be against Jim Jordan for speaker? That's Hannity, or Hannity's producer at least, putting it out in an email to lawmakers. Hannity has been joined in his quest by other high-profile hosts, including Steve Bannon, who has helped to spur the pressure campaign for Jim Jordan on his podcast called War Room. After the Republican caucus nominated Jim Jordan on Friday, Steve Bannon ran a segment on his show publicizing the congressional phone number of Congressman Steve Womack, Republican from Arkansas, who had hesitated to support Jim Jordan. Steve Bannon urged his listeners to tell Womack to support Jordan. Quote, you're in a super MAGA district. You got to get your mind right. That's Steve Bannon talking to the Republican congressman. You're in a super MAGA district. You got to get your mind right. On Monday, Gates praised Steve Bannon's audience for deluging Republican lawmakers with phone calls, urging them to get on what Gates called the Jordan train. Okay, the Jim Jordan train. But in a measure of the limits of those kinds of pressure tactics, Womack on Tuesday was among the 20 Republicans who declined to support Jordan in the floor vote. Womack, who voted for Scalise instead, said the Republicans' initial nominee had been kneecapped before he could get his own vote before the full House. Quote, it was the most egregious act against a sitting member of our conference I have witnessed, he said. Other efforts to flip votes were more successful. When Congressman Mike Rogers, Republican from Alabama, who had been a leading Jim Jordan holdout, announced that he would instead back Jim Jordan on Monday, Matt Gaetz broke the news on Steve Bannon's radio show or his podcast show and thanked the podcaster's audience. This is what he's saying to the Steve Bannon listeners. It seems as though Congressman Rogers has been sufficiently encouraged, Gaetz said. Some members have been unusually outspoken in blasting their colleagues for playing to the cameras. Mike Collins, a Republican from Georgia, tweeted last week that his fellow members we're making decisions based on, quote, egos and TV time. And there I would have to agree with him. McCarthy, meanwhile, was unequivocal in identifying what he saw as the reasons that Matt Gaetz had moved against him. Quote, it had nothing to do about spending, he told reporters. Shortly after he got ousted, he said, it was all about getting attention from you, referring to the press. Matt Gaetz just wanted the attention from the press. And he got it, right? Getting back to the story in the Washington Post, it says the dynamic of attention seeking over substance may be more pronounced than it has been in the past, but it is not new. Quote, for a long time, we've seen politicians who have vied for media attention in order to raise their profile and raise money, said Catherine Brownell, who teaches history at Purdue University. She said it elevates a slash and burn style, and it changes the party to something more about viral moments and less about governance. Man, that is an understatement, huh? In the case of the speaker fight, the consequence has been a string of firsts that hint at the underlying chaos. The first 15-round speaker election in nearly two centuries when Kevin McCarthy was chosen in January. Also, the first ouster of a speaker by a vote of the House when he was deposed this month. Also, the first vacancy in over half a century to last 2 weeks or more. And a lot of this put in motion by those media stars on the right, Sean Hannity and Steve Bannon. 9:46, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 59. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered showers. Lows around 46. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 57. Low 60s Friday with a chance for scattered showers. Mid-50s Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 52.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Cardigans on a Wednesday morning. Love Fool is the name of that song. And I've got a story here about a love fool. Let me give you that in just a second. First, let me tell you that it is 52 degrees right now in Amory and 49 degrees in Hayward. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:52 right now. And love fool, whatever happened to Melania Trump? Where has she been? Where'd she go? Why haven't we seen her in a long time? Well, there is an exclusive story in Rolling Stone with an excerpt from a new book by, of all sources, Mitt Romney. And it gives you a pretty good look into the way the former president looks at, I guess you could say, women in general. But he is talking about his girlfriend at the time, Melania Trump, and ran into Mitt Romney and evidently bragged that he would drop her during an early run-in with Romney. He wanted to drop her because, I think he was trying to impress Mitt Romney, you know, like as if she was good-looking, but she was kind of beneath his or their status. Let me give you the story. This is from Rolling Stone. It's an exclusive. The headline says Trump bragged he would drop Melania during an early run-in with Romney, according to a new book. This is an excerpt from a book called Romney, A Reckoning, and it details some of the Utah senator's first encounters with the former president. And I should make clear that this is not an autobiography. It's not by Mitt Romney, but there are many encounters in this book with the former president and the senator from Utah. It says here in a new biography, and this was just posted today, by the way, it says in a new biography of Senator Mitt Romney called Romney, A Reckoning, by McKay Coppins, the Atlantic staff writer, claims that Trump once boasted about his plans to drop then-girlfriend Melania during a New England Patriots game, at which both Romney and Trump were guests of team owner Robert Kraft. And here's a statement. This is from Coppins. He says, here's the story. Okay, this is a quote from the book. Trump sidled up to Romney's son, Josh, and pointed at a leggy brunette across the room. "Have you seen my girlfriend, Melania?" he asked, smirking. "When I drop her, the phone is going to ring off the hook. Every guy in New York wants to go out with her." Coppins recounts in an excerpt of the forthcoming book obtained by Rolling Stone. The book, a shockingly candid view of the retiring Utah senator's political career and life inside the Trump-era Republican Party, details multiple pre-presidential encounters between Romney and the future president. In the excerpt, which largely recounts their first meeting at Mar-a-Lago in the mid-1990s, Coppins writes of a Romney who alternates between fascination and disdain for the Queens real estate magnate and his garish lifestyle, foreshadowing a more serious political clash between the two in the years ahead. Trump's team did not take kindly to Romney's characterization of his early meetings with the former president. Quote, "Mittens is a loser who is retiring because he knows he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of surviving another campaign." That's a quote from a Trump spokesperson, and that's what they wrote in response to a request for comment from Rolling Stone. It went on and said he should stop lying and creating fake stories in order to stay relevant. The fact is that he dropped the ball when he ran against Barack Obama and is partially responsible for the mess America is in, end quote. This piece from Rolling Stone continues and says Trump and Romney first met a few years before the run-in at the Patriots game in January 1995, when the celebrity developer invited the private equity mogul to his Palm Beach estate. Romney, who according to Coppins felt Trump, quote, wasn't really a businessman at all, nonetheless took the meeting due to an interest in having a, quote, memorable, low stakes, and deeply weird, end quote, experience. Romney was not above gawking at famous people, Coppins writes. Trump rewarded that desire with a surreal scene upon arrival, as the entirety of the Mar-a-Lago staff lined up outside in a white linen uniform as if posed for a royal reception. Romney remembers Trump as a cartoon character who strutted around the estate like an English lord. Lord, indeed. Hey, it's 9:58. We got to wrap things up. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope you learned something. Do something nice for someone today, and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News on